Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual. You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Vredestein Pinza AT. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of The Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It is a Thursday. March Madness heats up later this afternoon, later tonight. It's The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thanks for making us part of your day. Jason McIntyre here as usual. So we've got a couple interesting things last night. Warriors now are starting to percolate. Road W's heading back home.
You're going to talk about referees today, are you?
Can't blame the Zebras.
Oh, yeah. They're infallible.
So the Warriors, still alive, beat the Mavericks. There was a play at the end of the third quarter. Ref should have communicated better. It gave the Mavericks a free basket. It wasn't ideal. It gave the Warriors, a free basket. You know, it's not ideal, blah, blah, blah. It's a basket at the end of the third quarter. It didn't decide the game. It should be noted, the Mavericks have the same record as the Lakers. The Lakers that had the Westbrook disaster, a rookie coach, LeBron's never available, AD's hit and miss, bunch of role players, Austin Reeves is now their star, right? Mavericks have the same record as the Lakers, with many believe the best young player in the world, Luka. They've always been a mystery, and that's our lead segment today, mystery. I love their owner, Mark Cuban, passionate, smart, cutting edge. Twice they've found a unique unicorn international scoring star. Middle of the country, perfect geography for domestic travel, no state tax, beautiful arena, lots of capitalization. They got a lot of money, and yet they can never land free agents. I feel like I'm watching Dirk Nowitzki 2.0. These Mavericks, same record as the messy, turbulent Lakers. They land an international star, and they can't figure out who to put around him. And in both instances, they kind of low-balled Steve Nash. He went to Phoenix, became a star. They kind of low-balled Jalen Brunson. He went to the Knicks. He's become a star. Should we blame the Mavericks? How about this? I was thinking about this morning. Finding the right Robin for your superstar may be just really, really hard. Celtics found it with Mikal to Bird. Warriors found it, Clay to Steph. Bulls found it, Pippen to MJ. Spurs found it, Tony Parker to Tim Duncan. In all four cases, it's not just that they're not quite as good as the star, but they have the right temperament. Tony Parker, low-key like Duncan. Clay, let Steph run the show, chill. Scottie Pippen, be honest, didn't want to be the star. The minute Jordan left, they handed him the reins of the franchise. He wasn't comfortable with it. Mikhail Bird, same thing. He loved Larry being the guy dealing with the media in Boston. It's really, really hard to find Robin. Philadelphia, two times with Embiid, they can't find it. They tried the really intense Jimmy Butler, didn't work. Somebody with no intensity, Ben Simmons, didn't work. They tried it with aging James Harden. It's fine, but they've never gotten to an Eastern Conference final. Just an Eastern Conference final. Allen Iverson, they could never find the perfect Robin. LeBron James, think about how he elevates players. 7 years, first time in Cleveland. They could never find him a Robin. He left. Then he found Robin in D-Wade. But even when you get the right Robin, the Jazz did Stockton to Malone. They never won a title. Michael Jordan was in the way. So I can look at it and think, you let Jalen Brunson go. What are you thinking? You let Steve Nash go. What are you thinking? It's really hard to find the right guy. And with a star, I mean, you could say to yourself, Milwaukee found it with Chris Middleton. Yes, in one playoff run, Middleton's been great. Now he's hurt, and most of us believe that Drew Holiday's the Robin. So that Robin worked briefly. Now we've got a new Robin. So I think I look at Dallas, and I look at the turbulent, messy Lakers season. It's the same record in the same conference. How is that possible? I think Luke is going to be a guy that's going to be hard to match somebody up with. He has the ball. He's unstoppable. He should score 33 a game. He needs it in his hands. He's in good shape, but he doesn't do much on the defensive end. It's not going to be easy. I appreciate the big swing on Kyrie Irving, but between Luka and Kyrie, playoff basketball, let's be honest, you got to play defense. They don't play great defense. So Mark Cuban, who I love, can complain about the officiating, but once again, the Mavericks find themselves in a shootout, and they lose. And today, the same record as the Lakers. Speaking of mystery, so I was thinking about this morning. You know, we all know in football that the quarterback is like 75% of the equation and the coach is 25%. All the other parts aren't worth a point a game. Even a great receiver is maybe worth half a point. You got the right quarterback, Mahomes, and the right coach, Andy Reid. Everything else, you can rebuild the O-line. This year, the Chiefs played a ton of rookies. They had to rebuild the defense. It doesn't matter. Same with Josh Allen. They can't figure out the offensive line. They don't have a dependable running game. They got to move off free agents. Nah, they'll still be really, really good. Cincinnati, Joe Burrow, and Zach Taylor. Offensive line's been a wreck. Defense was good. Wide receiver, young, stars, not perfect. Move off this running back. They got Joe Burrow and an offensive coach who embraces him and elevates him. Everything else doesn't really matter. And then there's Lamar Jackson. And, you know, there's a bit of him it's getting very interesting to me. Is Lamar Jackson becoming Kawhi Leonard? Think about it. Unquestionably, top 10 franchise talents. Neither trusts anybody. Kawhi uses Uncle Dennis as his agent. Lamar used his mom and now an unlicensed agent. They've got a trust issue. Both have had injuries, and around both injuries, there's nothing but mystery. Both in college were overlooked and have a chip on their shoulder. Both land in ideal situations. Kawhi Leonard, who's not real verbal, goes to San Antonio, very quiet, about the culture, not the stars. Perfect situation. Lamar goes to the Ravens. Exceptionally well run. Defense, run game. Patient, letting him grow with Flacco for a year. But yet by like year 4 or 5 with Kawhi Leonard, it got odd. And he got hurt. And there was mystery. And we never really got a straight answer. And now in year 3 or 4 for Lamar Jackson, he's hurt. And there's mystery, and it's odd, and we never really got a straight answer. Could he have played? I thought he was ready to play in late December. Then he never played. They're kind of becoming the same guy. Kawhi is an enigma. So is Lamar Jackson. None of us would question their franchise worthy. But they have very unique personalities, and I'm not sure either personality translates to long-term success or leadership. Lamar came into the NFL as it was pivoting to a passing league, and we had questions, could he pass? Kawhi came into the league as it was pivoting to a three-point league, and what's always been the enduring question early for him, is he ever going to shoot three-pointers consistently? Very, very interesting. The difference is that for a franchise quarterback, it is a highly verbal position. You got to talk. You got to lead. Mystery doesn't work. Think how great Aaron Rodgers' career has been. And yet, in the last 2 years, what's happened? There's a lot of mystery. What is going on? And it's even eroded trust by the Packers with their star quarterback, who's given them nothing but division titles. Mystery, it could be great for movie stars. The great Jack Nicholson said, I'm not going to go on Leto or Letterman or Carson. Why would I give away my product for free? I want mystery. There's a lot of areas I think mystery is really good. Michael Jordan mostly hid for his NBA career. He wasn't out at clubs. No, Michael, he'd go chop it up with some friends, be in his hotel room. That's why his documentary and the Air movie is so fascinating. There's so many layers to Michael Jordan we didn't know about. He wasn't on Instagram. They didn't have it. He wasn't on Twitter. And frankly, even as an owner, he was private. Retirement, he's private. He golfs. He hangs out with his fam. He's private. So mystery works. But does it work for a franchise quarterback? I don't know. But I wake up this morning, I'm hearing about the Colts wanting to make a run at Lamar Jackson, and I think, is it true? Who would know? Nobody ever talks. I'm not anti-mystery. It sells. It's fascinating. It makes me want you more. But I'm not sure if it works for a franchise quarterback. I know the Clippers have been nothing but frustrated with Kawhi Leonard, who sometimes shows up at 3:45 to 4 o'clock at the arena and advises Ty Lue, yeah, I'm not going to play tonight. Wasn't it Lamar Jackson in December? We were told he was ready to play. No, I'm not going to play for the next couple of weeks. I really like him. I really like Kawhi. But it's getting odd and strange. I'm just not sure that's what I want running my franchise. Kawhi doesn't trust anybody. Lamar apparently doesn't even trust the Ravens. They're one of the top four or five run organizations in the NFL. But the story this morning, Colts, are they going to make a run at Lamar Jackson? I think you have to ask yourself more than just football questions with Lamar these days. And I don't think that's a good thing. All right, the tournament's back up tonight. Tom Izzo on this week. Keep your eye. I'm going with Michigan State. Mr. J-Mac over here, I think, likes Kansas State at the Garden. That's going to be a fantastic game. Gonzaga and UCLA tonight. Going to be one for the ages, I hope.
Remember the last time they met, Jalen Suggs, half-court bomb, Final Four?
Yeah. My guess is UCLA-Gonzaga has a chance to be the best game in the tournament. It was that year. It was as good as any game in the tournament.
So they just announced that the big kid on UCLA is questionable tonight. He had left with some kind of injury in their last game. If he's not there to guard Drew Timmy on the block, it's going to be tough for UCLA to pull that
one out. Well, right now, they're the two best programs on the West Coast. Arizona's really good, but they're kind of transitioning with their roster, and they've kind of underachieved in the playoffs. Right now, I would say Gonzaga, UCLA feel like got the right coach, mostly got the right players, got the right culture. One's more of an offensive program, Gonzaga. UCLA can do a little bit of both, sometimes maybe a little overlooked on the defensive end. It'll be classic.
Should be a great game. And the Michigan State game, yeah, we're head-to-head. The line has gone my way in the last 24 hours. Started out your way earlier this week. A lot of tug-of-war over this Michigan State-Kansas State game. Should be a great one. Two great point guards.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to do my game.
That's my game.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world. They just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
The Jets have traded Elijah Moore, a slot receiver, kind of immature. Nobody knows quite how he fits. They trade him to Cleveland, and they get a number two pick, a second-round pick, and they give up the third pick in Elijah Moore. So they're going to use that pick eventually to land Aaron Rodgers. The Packers want at least a second-round pick, so now the Jets have two. The Jets' receiving core today is better than last year already. Alan Lazard is a dependable, probably a number two or a number three big receiver. Not a lot of drama with Alan Lazard. Aaron Rodgers likes him. And now Mecole Hardman came over as well from Kansas City. So they're bigger at wide receiver and they're faster at wide receiver. Aaron Rodgers Airlines always has some turbulence, but the Jets are having to make a bunch of moves. But there's no denying this morning with Mecole Hardman and Alan Lazard and eventually Aaron Rodgers, the Jets are better. And as you look at the Jets, you think, oh, my gosh, they're making a bunch of noise, and noise isn't good. Jets quarterbacks, the good ones and the talented ones, have almost always been noisy. Joe Namath, the rock star, partying late into the night was noisy. Mark Sanchez, the GQ cover, you know, the good-looking kid was noisy. Favre was noisy for a year. Zach Wilson, rumors about his mom's friend was noisy. Sam Darnold partied so hard he got mono. Aaron Rodgers is a perfect fit. The New York Giants are the opposite. Jeff Hostetler, Phil Sims, Eli Manning, Daniel Jones, they're quiet. They're kind of funny once they retire, but they're very corporate. The Giants are blue blood. The Jets have always been the little brother. They're the little dog in the neighborhood that makes all the noise to prove how tough he is, and the big dog rolls its eyes because it doesn't have to prove how good it is, how big it is, how tough it is. That's the difference between the Giants and the Jets. One, the Giants are an accounting firm. One's a nightclub. The Jets bark and make noise, and that's what they do, and that's what they always do. And you can bank on it. Aaron's going to make the Jets newsworthy and fun and flashy, and they'll get more headlines than the Giants, and they won't win the Super Bowl because the Jets don't. And the Giants will be quiet and efficient with a brilliant offensive coach and a smart GM that will help load up the roster and fix the offensive line. In the weaker NFC, they will make the playoffs. And then watch out. I mean, watch out. But this is what they are. The little brother always has to make noise, a big splash, to bark loud, to show what they are. And nothing is more fitting than this morning the Jets are reportedly interested in OBJ. That is so New York, it hurts. So New York Jets, it hurts. The minute he got loud, the Giants moved on. He's still loud, and the Jets lean in. They're a make-news franchise. And that's the reality. When you get two pro teams in a city and so much money at stake, they take big swings. They want to make headlines. They want to be in the back page of the tabloid. So OBJ and Aaron Rodgers, I mean, it is just such classic Jets. I mean, Rex Ryan was the coach of the Jets, and he couldn't stop talking, couldn't stop making promises, couldn't stop being outspoken. They wanted to be on Hard Knocks, and the Giants, that's just not the way it works. That is not. It's a blue blood franchise, understated, almost embarrassed. I can tell you what the Jets are going to do, but I can also tell you how the Giants privately are reacting to the OBJ news and the Aaron Rodgers drama. They're laughing in that building. They're gone. Look at those guys. As much as things change, they stay the same with New York football teams.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So the Lakers won last night, and Austin Reeves was really good. The NFL gives us Austin Reeves all the time. Half the league is undrafted. And, I mean, that means after seven rounds of drafting, half the league is still undrafted, guys. They're coachable. They may have some physical limitations, but they work hard, head down, and they become productive pros. The NBA only has two rounds, and it's very rare when you can find a highly productive second-round player. The great ones, they run out of production after about the 17th pick in the first round. So to get an undrafted player to come into a big franchise and do what this kid is doing is rare. Last 9-10 games, he's averaging 20. He can score. He's a tremendous passer. He draws fouls. He may be the rare diamond in the rough. So with AD and LeBron either aging or getting hurt a lot, they need role players to be essential. But D'Angelo Russell and Malik Beasley are such hot and cold scorers and shooters. Austin Reeves, every night that he gets the minute, shows up, draws fouls, great passer, and hits the basket. The irony is they thought it was going to be an expensive, toxic, former NBA superstar Russell Westbrook that would provide that because they knew AD was brittle and LeBron was getting older, so they brought Westbrook in to just give them 32 minutes a night and 24 points. And the irony is they got it in the last 10-game, 9-game stretch from an undrafted player who, like a lot of NFL stories, undrafted, works hard, gym rat, can be productive, coachable, gets a little better every time he's on the floor. He's a great, great story. Now, my takeaway on guys like this, you know, it's the Jeremy Lin story, is that once the playoffs arrive, role players, especially undrafted, second round, they shrink, right? The NBA playoffs, all the veterans are playing. There's no load management. The rotations shrink. And so Austin Reeves will not be nearly as consistently viable as he is now. But the word is role player. And his role right now with LeBron not playing is to create offense and somebody to help out Anthony Davis. And he's doing that. These are pretty heady numbers. Last nine games, 20 a game, 6 assists. You know, he's shooting 57% from the floor and a massive plus minus of plus 97. And so it's called role player for a reason. This is the time in the NBA season where the Warriors are crossing their fingers that Andrew Wiggins comes back. And, you know, the Suns are, you know, crossing their fingers on Kevin Durant. The West right now is about who's not playing instead of who is. And he's been a really nice find. You get that one of the reasons the NFL, I think, is so relatable is that, you know, the players have limited power as employees, like all of us, right? They don't have a zillion revenue streams like NBA guys and shoe deals. NFL players, even the great ones, can be cut at any time. They got to play in bad weather. They got to play sick. They got to play hurt, just like the rest of us. But I also think something that's a very redeemable quality about the NFL is that hard work, coachability really matters. It's not about being a first-round pick. If you can provide production, head down, focused, you can make a lot of money in this league. Austin Reeves is very rare in the NBA. I mean, off the top of my head, second-round great players ever in the NBA. Draymond Green, Jokic, wasn't Manu Ginobili, was it him? Yeah, he was a second-round player. Not many of them. There's about six or seven all-time great second-round players in, you know, in the last 25, 30 years. So for this kid to be undrafted is really impressive, and he's playing his role perfectly. Can pass it, can shoot it, no drama. You know, this is what they thought Westbrook was going to provide because they knew AD gives you about 55, 60 games. LeBron's going to give you 55. So when they brought in Westbrook, I remember saying when they brought him over, I don't like Westbrook as a player,
but he can give you 24, 28 a night, and he'll give you 36 minutes, and nobody in the NBA plays harder. They thought that's what Westbrook would do, but he wasn't willing to screen or defend, and he could be toxic if he had bad nights or didn't get his looks. This kid, you don't get any of the toxicity, but you get the production in minutes. So he's been in Darvin Ham after the win for the Lakers last night over Phoenix on this very impressive stretch.
His ability to play downhill, draw fouls, you know, score at all three levels, find guys, you know, his ability to play make. He's in a great space right now, feeling his game and just locked in to what we're trying to accomplish.
They're a much better defensive team as Westbrook has left. So this is a really, really good story for the Lakers. We have criticized them for being too insular as a franchise, too many friends of Jeannie Buss in the building, and we've criticized them for being star-obsessed. But if you go back to many of the great Laker teams, they've had these classic role players that Phil Jackson would elevate, or, you know, a Jerry West would find, or Pat Riley would elevate or find. Austin Reeves, a great get. He just is not. There's not a lot of Austin Reeves in the NBA, and he's been great for a 2.5-3 week stretch.
One thing I love about his story, Colin, everybody tries to put you in a box. What are you? You know, what is Austin Reeves coming at? Well, a 6'7" white guy. Can he guard small forwards in the NBA? Probably not quick enough. Can he guard twos? I don't think so. Can he handle enough to be a one? No. So nobody knew what to do with him. What position is he? Which is an old school way of thinking. And now the Lakers have tinkered, and they're like, is he a small forward? And look what he's doing at point guard. How many assists last night? 11? The kid can distribute. He's a smart, high IQ player. He's got long arms, so he can finish at the rim.
Yeah.
Colin, I love this example. Cam Chancellor came out of college, went to Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
And I've sat with an executive at a TV network, and I told him, like, people try to put Cam Chancellor in a box.
I remember.
What was he? Was he a linebacker? Because he was an awesome high school basketball player. He played quarterback. He played running back in high school. What was he? Well, Virginia Tech, some linebacker, some safety. But he's too big. He can't play safety in the NFL, and he's probably not quick enough to be a linebacker. So nobody knew what to do. He falls to the fifth round. Seattle says, we got an idea. I know what the hell to do with this kid. Cam Chancellor becomes a superstar in the NFL. Awesome safety, in the box, playmaker. I was at a Vegas pool one time.
I was too.
And he was right next to us.
He was right next to me.
Yeah. And I end up talking to him about it, and he was telling me, like, his story. He's like, nobody knew what to do with me. They didn't think I could do this. And that's the problem when you have closed-minded thinking. What is he? Don't try to put people in a box. Tinker with where they can go, what they can do. And Austin Reeves is shining with the Lakers right now.
Well, that's always been one of Pete Carroll's strengths in Seattle. It's like, especially his defensive eye is, we'll figure out a way to use him. If Jamal Adams was healthy more consistently, yeah, he would be great for Seattle because Jamal Adams doesn't have a lot of range. But in New York, it's like he was great on special teams, and he was great in the box, and he was great on blitzing. And Pete Carroll looked at him and said, I've had so many players at USC, New England Jets, Seahawks, that's what Pete Carroll does. Like, I'll figure out a way to use him. Is he a playmaker? And when I watch Austin Reeves, my takeaway is a very, very good offensive player. Initiates fouls, can put it on the deck. He's quick enough. To your point, he is long. He's a great passer. He's just you know what he is? He's just kind of a basketball player. And by the way, we fall in love in the NBA with athleticism. John Wall and Russell Westbrook. And my takeaway is if you're under 6'4 and can't shoot, there's going to be limitations. Austin Reeves can shoot. He can dribble. He can pass. He's got a lot of skills. I think we get too caught up sometimes. We forget that many of the key cogs in the history of basketball, that we consider that the talent sport, have been guys that play a great role. Just guys that are, I mean, how long? Udonis Haslem for the Heat, 20 years in the league. Maturity, toughness, leadership, intelligence. Like Pat Riley's like, keep him on the roster. For Pat Riley and Spoelstra to keep him in the building, he is adding so much value. Road trips, on the plane, at practice, on the bench. Stuff fans don't talk about. Like, Pat Riley's not keeping a guy for 20 years unless he adds bonus everywhere you're at.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut. The new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes.
And me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name.
That's my game, bro.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Got Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world. They just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Years ago, I was reading a story about a 4- or 5-star general, Schwarzkopf, in America, and he was talking about a lot of times he likes to be aggressive and make a move because it creates clarity. If something doesn't work, you want to know immediately it doesn't work. Hemming and hawing and sitting around, even in military, you have to know what works and what doesn't. So failure is often part of a greater success. And I've said in sports, I like my teams to be aggressive. And one of the reasons is that. If something doesn't work, let's find out. Let's not sit around and wait. And so when the Carolina Panthers traded up for the number one pick in a draft without a Trevor Lawrence or an Andrew Luck or maybe a Chase Young where you're like, oh yeah, that guy's that's a can't-miss guy. There was a lot of us who, and I was one of them, that I said, you know, I really like what the Bears got, especially DJ Moore. But David Tepper is a really smart guy, and he owns the franchise. And what David Tepper did is a little like Schwarzkopf and the article I read years and years, over 10 years ago about this. What he said was, I want to control the situation. And so David Tepper hopes he has the right GM. And he hopes he has the right coach. But you never know. I mean, did any of you folks out there know that Tom Coughlin, when he was at Boston College, was going to beat Bill Belichick twice in the Super Bowl? I mean, never really. Any of you sitting around going, the next great coach 5 years ago is a kid named Sean McVay. He's like 27. You didn't know that. We didn't know. Most of us thought Bill Belichick after Cleveland was a grumpy guy that bombed out in Cleveland, couldn't get the offense right, right? Like, you don't know. A lot of these college guys come to the NFL, you don't know. I remember when Pete Carroll got hired at USC, I was on a plane talking to a buddy, Brian, in Portland, and I'm like, Pete Carroll? They just had Paul Hackett, an NFL guy. How's Pete Carroll going to work out here out west? Absolute home run. Who knew? So when you control the situation like Carolina, you can do all this pre-draft stuff. C.J. Stroud, yesterday they had dinner with Bryce Young last night. They're going to watch Bryce today. Then they're going to see Anthony Richardson and Will Levis. They control the situation. Houston, number two pick, Indy, number four pick, they can do all this pre-draft work. On draft day, they're guessing. They don't know who's going to be available. They don't control anything. Houston's got the number two pick. They may love Bryce Young. Right now, Carolina may take Bryce Young. And half their scouting department is like, we don't love C.J. Stroud. Or maybe they don't love Bryce Young. So David Tepper also did this by creating clarity. He said, David Tepper is thinking to himself, okay, instead of my guys settling, my GM and the coach settling, I'm going to give them the power. I'm going to sign off on us moving up in the draft. But now I'll find out if my GM and my coach are competent because they're going to pick their guy. So there'll be no excuses if they take C.J. Stroud over Bryce Young and Bryce Young hits a home run and C.J. Stroud is average. Then David Tepper can say, hey, I moved up. I'm giving you your pick. And it will create clarity. Does my GM really know how to draft a quarterback? Because it'd be very easy if you stay down where you're at and you get the third or the fourth quarterback and the GM and the coach can say, well, you know, what were we dealing with here? We wouldn't have drafted that guy. Now you control it. Frank Reich, the GM, it's their guy, their choice. They totally control it. So Tepper is creating real clarity. Find out how good your GM. How good is he? It's his pick. No excuses, no settling, not taking anybody's leftovers. It's all about you. So I like the move by Carolina. I don't love giving up DJ Moore, but sometimes you got to give stuff to get stuff. So there's an interesting bite by Mick Cronin is the UCLA basketball coach. And we're not sure we can get it cleared by the NCAA, the sound bite. But he had one of my favorite bites I've heard a college coach make in a long time. So the name, image, likeness, all I heard from fans and old timers and coaches, wah, 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 it's terrible. And all I hear about the transfer portal, wah, 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 it's terrible. And Mick Cronin at UCLA came out. He was asked about it. And he said, thank you for asking the question. And Cronin, whose Bruins tonight face Gonzaga, has done a really good job at UCLA. He was not viewed as the first choice. He was a Midwest guy, more about defense. UCLA has had some of the great college players. It's LA. It's pretty. And he's been a great, great fit for the Bruins. Tough, hard-nosed, smart. Bruins play real defense. He's been great. So he was asked about the NIL. And his answer was, it's just different. And he goes, the last words of a dying CEO is, well, it's not the way we've done things before. And last night I had one of those corporate dinners I have to go to about once every month. You know, you got to sit with the big corporate people in my little world, right? And we talked about that all night, about audio and podcasting and digital and how the world is changing. And the companies that don't change get gobbled up. And it is so amazing to watch people fear new stuff. I like the NIL and I like the transfer portal. Now, I believe there should be regulations. I think we should all be able to drive a car once we're 18. I think there should be speed limits. I think you should be able to smoke if you want, not on planes and not next to me in a cubicle. So I am for some level of regulations, even on Wall Street. You need some regulations. Democrats tend to want more than Republicans. That's fine. But I don't want housing bubbles. I don't want Wall Street bubbles. If you don't have any regulations, those often happen very quickly. So you could look at a pattern of your life. I think about this all the time. I think about when I'm on my, and this is probably fatalistic or awful or macabre and dark, but I think about when I'm on my deathbed. When I'm on my deathbed and my kids are there and they're holding my hand and I'm an old guy, right? I'm, you know, however old I am, is in my life, do I want my legacy to be, you know, he took some big chances. He was open-minded. He was smart. He was progressive. I mean, he made some mistakes, but you know, man, he went for it. I think that's me. Made some mistakes, taken big swings, moved around the country, tried to do the right thing. Sometimes I don't. I've never been afraid of new stuff. I'm totally comfortable with that. I would not be comfortable laying on my deathbed saying he was always afraid of the next thing. Speed limit, it can't go to 70. Oh, NIL, terrified. The world is changing. Either change with it or die. because I'm changing. My friends are changing. The smart CEOs are changing. You go ahead and be rigid and bury your feet in the sand. Go for it. But you're growing. There is no plateauing because others are growing. You're growing or you're dying. I'm just going to stay where I'm at. No, you're not. Because if somebody's growing, staying where you're at is sinking. And I love Mick Cronin's opinion. The dying words of every CEO are, well, that's the way we've always done it over there. This is all the NIL is, all the transfer portal is. It's just different. Embrace it. Add some regulations, obviously. We don't want cars driving 120 miles an hour on the 405, obviously. We don't want people smoking on planes, obviously. But I love it. A college coach who comes to terms with, it's different. It's okay. Some coaches are going to really lean into the transfer portal. Others may not. Others may like the stability of getting three-star guys, Villanova, Gonzaga, building up. But don't get in the way of other people. Doesn't mean Mick Cronin has to go all in on the transfer portal. Doesn't mean that. But why can't somebody else? I mean, let's be honest. Some of these schools have rigorous academic standards in football and basketball collegiately. Some of them have less rigorous. Some can take junior college guys. Some can't. Some are glamorous, beautiful campuses that can attract high school kids. Kansas State football under Bill Snyder lived with junior college players. What's wrong with that? A lot of big schools don't want. Stanford's not going to take a junior college guy, and Michigan may not take a junior college guy. Kansas State and Bill Snyder won 90% of their games. He was like, we live on those guys. Nothing wrong with that. What's good for you isn't good for everybody. Mick Cronin, love it.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Chris Broussard, co-host First Things First. He's also got the Odd Couple Radio with Rob Parker joining us live. So you the other day, Mario Chalmers, who doesn't appear to love LeBron, said, you know, nobody's afraid of LeBron. They were afraid of Michael Jordan. What was your opinion on that?
Well, look, I do think he's right. I get where he's coming from, but fear, the fear you instill in your opponents doesn't measure greatness. Now, obviously, I think Jordan's better than LeBron, but I'm thinking people would say Kobe inspired more fear as well. That doesn't correlate to greatness. I think it's more so LeBron's personality. He's a friendlier person. He wants everybody in the league, you know, to be friends and come together and help guys be successful. Kobe didn't care about that. Jordan didn't care about that. And then style of play. Like, LeBron's style of play is less attacking because a lot of times he's looking to pass.
Right.
Whereas Kobe or Jordan is looking to score on you every time.
Yeah.
And Colin, I talked to a former player who was an all-star, played against Kobe and LeBron, and he said the difference between playing those guys is like the difference in fighting Mike Tyson or Floyd Mayweather. You're going to lose to both, and you know it because they're so great. But when you lose to Tyson, it's going to hurt, right? It's going to be painful. You lose to Floyd, it's not going to be painful. It's not going to hurt. And that's how guys feel. Yeah, we know LeBron's great, and he's going to beat me. He's better. But it's not going to be as painful as Kobe or Jordan attacking you every single possession. I don't think guys feared Tim Duncan playing against him, even though he was great. They probably feared going against Kevin Garnett more. But we all know Duncan was better than Garnett. So I think it's all of those things kind of coming together as to why not only Chalmers, but Gilbert Arenas said it recently. Chandler Parsons. I mean, guys that I don't know that they should be talking about LeBron like this, but they're all saying it now.
You know, I also said that a Magic Johnson wasn't feared necessarily, is that Magic is a very giving person. He is offended. If you come to L.A. in any sport and you don't lean into him, he's offended because he wants to help you.
Yep.
That's very LeBron. So you always have a line, your game is your game. I would add, your game becomes your personality and your personality is your game. Magic and LeBron are very giving guys. This is not a knock. Michael tended to be, maybe it's his era, and Kobe, a little more selfish. All of them won.
Yep.
All of them are great,
But your game becomes your personality, right? Like, to some degree.
No, that's a great point. And obviously Magic has remained very much in the public eye.
Yes.
I imagine LeBron will. He's obviously involved in so many things. He's got his TV shows and stuff. Whereas Kobe, even though he was wildly successful, he kind of moved away from basketball.
Yeah.
Didn't want to be a broadcaster. Jordan hasn't, if he didn't own the team, the Charlotte team, who knows when we'd see Mike. So, yeah, I think that's a great point about the personality.
Yeah, and you can win a lot of different ways. So, you know, I watched the Air movie. It's a movie about Sonny Vaccaro, who's going to be on our show next week, and Michael Jordan's mother. You don't see a lot of Michael. You see the back of Michael and hear his voice once or twice. Mm-hmm. But it's really a story about Michael's mom and Sonny Vaccaro, who have never probably been given the proper respect in the building of Michael's empire. I felt... with the documentary, it made me like Michael more. Even his flaws, I found fun. He was just such a relentless, dogmatic guy. And the Air movie is more the same, where he made really good decisions. When you look at Michael and his ownership struggles and his wizard struggles and the baseball stuff, and people forget early in his career, pre-Pippen, he couldn't get to 500. How do you view those in the legacy? We know the 6-for-6, but you've talked to players. We've argued about this. How do you look at Michael's failings? And he's had several.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot of guys talk about his failings, you know, because he was so successful once he started winning. But I remember, look, he used to get a lot of criticism. A lot of people talk about how old Jordan, nobody talks about his flaws. But when early in the late 80s, when he was playing tremendously individually, but not winning.
Yeah.
Everyone would criticize him in the media. He can put up numbers, but Magic and Bird, they're the winners. Isaiah, he's a winner.
Winner.
And so he did get a lot of criticism.
Yeah.
But he was so great, you know, individually. And remember, the Bulls, Chicago was a horrible franchise.
Yeah.
Much like Cleveland, although Cleveland actually had some pretty good years before LeBron, but similar, you know, situation where the Bulls were not, they were a terrible franchise, and he lifted them up into being a flagship franchise. And so I think those are reasons that people kind of overlook. And even when he was early in his career not winning, He had the shoes, to your point.
Yeah.
And before he won championships, everybody was wearing Air Jordans. They took, you know, the basketball world by storm. And they're even more popular today, believe it or not. But I think, you know, he had the Come Fly With Me videos. He had his gear. Like, so even before he started winning, he still was wildly popular. So I think people don't even, those years where he didn't win championships, people still look at them now as successful because of the great things he did individually.
It is interesting, though. He was called early in his career selfish and not a winner, and now he's seen as the ultimate winner, so you can pivot things if you get those titles. Austin Reeves. So the NBA doesn't have a lot of stories. NFL does, but the NBA doesn't have a lot of stories of undrafted guy becomes really, really productive. Now, in the NFL, we see that all the time. Half the league is undrafted, right? Like Brock Purdy, right. Seventh round. You see that all the time. You don't see this in the NBA. Is Austin Reeves, in your opinion, flash in the pan, kind of a Jeremy Lin, cute, brief story, or is there something to this?
No, I think there's something to it. Now, I don't think he's a future star, but I do think he's a very productive player for the next decade. Like, he's a good player. And what he shows you, look, the last four games, he's averaged 25 points a game. But, Colin, even before that, since LeBron's been out, Austin Reeves has averaged 18 points and 6 assists a game. Now, again, I'm not saying he's going to be a star, but he's clearly going to have a nice, long, productive career and be a name that people recognize. And what it shows you is that basketball, I think after Jordan, because Jordan was so athletic, people overlooked the fact that he was a smart player, that he was cerebral, that he was fundamentally sound.
Yeah.
And for the next decade or so, kind of post-Jordan, the game was focused on athleticism. And people forgot, no, it's also about skills and fundamentals. And I do think right now in this era, we are seeing how important skills are, how important knowing how to play the game and being fundamentally sound are. Steph Curry, not incredibly athletic, but he dominates the game. You know, Luka Doncic and Nikola Jokic dominate the game, not what we call athletic by basketball standards. And now you got a guy like Austin Reeves who, you know, stayed in college for a few years. You know, that's another thing. A lot of times guys that play a few years in college, they come out and they might not be as talented as the younger one and dones, but they know how to play the game. And so Austin Reeves and a lot of these other players are symbols of that. So, look, Magic wasn't incredibly athletic by NBA standards. Bird, we know all that. And so we got to understand that it's not just about how high you can jump, how fast you can move, but it's also about your understanding of how to play the game.
There have been rumors that LeBron's actually pretty healthy. He wants to take time off, get rested for the playoffs, get Anthony Davis minutes. You could argue it gets Austin Reeves some confidence. Where are you on LeBron returning? To me, LeBron's always, if he can play, he can play. But I would get LeBron saying, hey, let's get us in here. If I don't play for 30 days, I'm gonna have amazing energy, and the West is wide open. Where do you fall on LeBron? Could he play? Can he play? Where are you at on it?
I mean, I've been told he may come back late in the season, you know, May. You know, so what I've been told is that he is legitimately hurt. But I think what people are looking at is the game where he hurt the foot, the ankle, he played that game. You know, he continued playing and playing well. And so I think that's what people are looking at and saying, I think he could still play. And we've seen him play through injuries before. So I think he's legitimately injured. But look, if he was just sitting out to sit out and see what these guys can do, they better make the playoffs. And I get it that they have an easy schedule going forward, but most of the teams they play are fighting for something.
Yeah.
Right? Like they got Chicago. Chicago's fighting to get into play-in in the East. You know, and several of these other teams they're playing are going to be fighting for seeding or to be in the play-in and things like that. So they really can't take anybody lightly. But it is giving these other players a chance to shine. And the thing, Colin, we've always seen that LeBron is hard to kind of fit around.
Right.
You can't just put him in like a Kevin Durant.
Right.
Now, I think he's a little easier to do now because he scores more. He's not as ball dominant. He's not always bringing the ball up court as much as he used to. He still does it occasionally. But so now he may be able to just come in and focus on scoring and the other guys kind of fit around him. But they're going to need a little time to see how that works because we've seen it before. Everything changes. Austin Reeves won't be this guy when LeBron comes back.
That's right.
D'Angelo Russell be what he's been. So they're going to need a little time to get used to it.
Chris Broussard, who hardest job at the network, he has got to listen to Nick Wright's takes every day and restrain himself and fire back. It's a very difficult task, and we love him. First Things First is a gigantic hit. It's great seeing you, buddy. Congrats on everything.
Thank you, my man. Always good to be on.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So Toyota is electrified, diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.